entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. A fine network of podcasts. Such shows as Best in Show Radio, Truth Time Theater, Bug Zapper Radio, and this pile of audio shit that we're putting on for you tonight. I hope you enjoy it. My name is Ken. With me, as always, ladies and gentlemen, is your friend and mine, a guy named Steve. Steve, how you doing tonight, buddy? What's going on?
Not much is going on.
Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Throw it over to Steve. What's going on, Steve?
Meh.
Could be better. No. Could be better.
I'm neither here nor there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Steve. And actually, it's not. It's quite terrible when, I think one day you're going to have a terribly important point to make, and you'll make it, and I'll die. Right as soon as you, as soon as you don't say, meh, nothing, could be better, I will die. Anyway, Steve, it's September. We're in the
greatest month of the year. Yes, we are.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
I know you think it is because one day of it is dedicated to you. However,
that's right.
It's like a slow death of the summer. The summer's not really over. It's just dying out. It's on its deathbed. Its family's all around it, just kind of trying to comfort it, but still kind of, in their minds, dividing up its belongings. Like, oh, I'll get the fucking tomatoes. You keep the raft. I'll take the beach towel. You can keep the fucking empty can of fucking sunscreen.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Why is it beautiful?
I do like September because in the beginning it's pretty much summer. By the end, you're really into fall at that point. And that's my favorite time of year. Just everything dies.
Yeah, I guess you would, wouldn't you?
And I'm a gardener. I'm a gardener, but then I'm just oh, that's one less thing I got to do.
Yeah, to make way for all the other things.
Right.
What do you do instead of gardening, Steve?
Online gaming.
Yeah. So you garden to get away from gaming, or is it that you garden because why? I mean, people garden to relax themselves from a stressful day. It's a hobby. But now you're making it seem as though God it's fall, so I don't have to garden.
No, so you don't have to water. I mean, I don't like watering. I like stuff growing and eating food from stuff I grew, but I don't care to water. Mm. And then,
but that's
the
easiest fucking thing to do. You just hose it down a little bit, fucking go inside and sit on your ass. I mean, a gardener is not a farmer. Farmers work. They spend the whole fucking day. But a gardener has a little plot of fucking land, unless they're Clayton's mother, who has a fucking Jurassic Park,
yeah.
Goddamn fucking elephant garlic the size of Miranda Lambert's fucking huge skull.
I love elephant garlic. That stuff's great.
Yeah. So does Blake Shelton. Loves that big fucking pumpkin-headed bitch. Oh, she can belt him out, though, right? Anyway. Yeah, so, Steve, it's not like gardening is that fucking taxing.
Well, where I have most of the stuff that I have to water, I got a 100-foot hose I got to drag to the back of my house and, around a corner, and it's just annoying.
Wow.
See, I got those hoses, those expando hoses?
What you just said reminds me of something that you would see in a book that is available for pre-order right now. The book is called White Wine by our friend Streeter Seidel, who we've interviewed. I think it was episode 174. Me and Frank got to talk to him a while back, a few years ago. And he's a great guy, and his book is coming out soon. And just go to HearUsTalk.com/Amazon and click the link over there and purchase the motherfucker. It's $10. I mean, seriously. $10 for some good entertainment. You're not gardening anymore, Steve. You could read a fucking book.
I still am. Until it's, you know, not hot anymore. And it's going to get cool.
I have to go around the corner of my house and drag a 100-foot hose just several feet and turn it on to this just magical fucking endless supply of water. And yeah. water my extra food that just grows out of land that I own.
Yeah, well,
that I'm not maintaining for some fucking warlord or slave master. Oh, woe is you, Steve.
First world problems.
That's what it is. It's a white wine, a study of first world problems. Go to HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Click over there. He's a good dude. He deserves it. I want to see that shit fucking blow up. I want him to be on the New York Times bestseller list. It won't be from us, of course. It'll be from all the other people that are pulling for him because, you know, it's a fucking good book. I don't know. Anyway, check it out. So, Steven, you're not just gardening all the time. I know that you're spending a lot more time inside because you're not watering. You're expecting shit to die.
Uh-huh.
So you said you're playing video games. What are you watching? Watching a lot of online video?
No, well, that's a different story. But yeah, you know, I have been watching some online videos. If anybody hasn't seen it before, trying to get him on the show. Sent him an email yesterday. Joe Hansen, he does Joe Goes, it's called. And he was actually on Beauty and the Geek, but I'm sure it was just like a ploy by him at this point after watching his videos first. Yeah. And then watching the Beauty and the Geek. he is the best at awkward interviews. I mean, I have never seen anybody do awkward interviews as good as this guy.
Yeah, you showed me a couple of his videos. He's basically like a pudgy, short, nerd kind of guy. Like a pale, blonde guy with a funny face.
He's basically an albino. Yeah, his rap name is Bino White.
He goes to various... gatherings, conventions, locations. I mean, he doesn't always go to conventions. He just goes to foreign countries and shit.
Well,
but he travels.
Conventions. Yeah.
The guy travels, and he just interviews people. He basically does fucking Tom Green's gimmick, right? I mean,
but he does it better, I think.
I don't think so. I mean, you think he does it better than Tom Green?
Yeah, because looking at him, he's less creepy than Tom Green, so he can get more out of people and then turn it around faster. Like Tom Green, I'd be scared just to talk to Tom Green to begin with, even though I know he's a comedian. And I know.
Before we progress any further, we do have a listener in the chat room who's taken exception to the fact that I said online videos, which I agree with. I should be fucking beaten for that. It's just an indication that I'm getting old.
Yeah, did you mean video games when you said that?
No, I meant online video.
Oh, okay.
like not DVDs. which really is video at this point.
It's all video.
Yeah, but I qualified it. Oh, yeah, it's true. That's true. That what I just did was like in the 80s when somebody's grandma would call them Nintendo tapes.
Yep.
Take your Nintendo tapes. Put them in the cases. No. They're clarifying in the chat room. This is Ustreamer 693905. Get that right in case you want to add him to your friends list.
Yeah, I thought you meant porn, and I thought you meant porn too, so.
Oh, no, Steve.
Everybody watches porn. I mean,
that's a given. Like, that would be like me asking if you brushed your teeth, which actually it's nothing like that because I would anticipate that answer is no many days.
I probably watch more porn than brush my teeth.
Yeah, I think that you.
If you go by a video by video basis,
no, I'll say day by day basis. Do you think
equal? It's equal.
You never go a day without watching porn or brushing your teeth.
I'm like on vacation sometimes, and you know, like for a day, I might skip brushing my teeth for a day. I don't feel too bad about that, but I can't go 2 days.
You know, some weekends I don't fucking do anything.
You don't like shower either? Like no shower?
I'm going to be completely honest here. I'm not going to bullshit. There are weekends where I wake up in whatever I slept in, and I fucking wear that the entire weekend.
Well, I mean, if you go camping and shit, you really can't take a shower.
If I go camping, which never happens, and instead is me rolling out of my fucking bed in my house.
You camp in your room.
Let me tell you, by Sunday, you could put me side by side to a homeless person and do a sniff test. And be very likely to get it wrong. Be very likely to get it wrong, and it being who is the actual homeless person. I smell so fucking rotten on a Sunday after not doing shit to myself.
You can smell yourself?
Yes.
Damn, I've never gotten that bad.
You've never gotten that bad. I had an incident recently where we were talking about this, that I could smell my feet. And this is when I had bathed.
I've done that before. I've come to a point where my shoes smell.
See, Goatweed is laying out mixed signals here. He says it's okay to pass on a shower, but it's never okay to pass on toothbrushing.
I don't know about that.
I mean, like,
I think overbrushing might be a bad thing. I was reading
No, fuck you. It's never bad to overbrush. It's never bad to overbrush. I just don't think it's
tooth enamel down.
I don't think it's that criminal to fucking miss a day or two.
No, but the people that brush after every meal, I think that's a bit extreme, no?
There used to be
a
guy.
Should that be normal?
There used to be a guy I worked with who would brush his teeth every day like clockwork at like 11:30. And for a good 2 month stretch, my biology fucking just happened to fall into sync with his fucking toothbrushing, so that I would take the shit of a lifetime every day. I would take the biggest shit, progressively the biggest shit of my life every day, the exact time that guy decided to bring his fucking dental kit in and clean his entire mouth. That guy passed on. The guy died.
No, oh, there you go.
He retired first, and then like a month later died, which is
overbrushing.
Which I've said before is my biggest fucking fear. Retiring, putting in a whole career of work that, you know, let's face it, I'm not, you know, I never dreamt I would be in the job that I was as a kid. You know, ask a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's never going to be, I'd like to develop software for companies to use.
That's what I wanted to do when I was a kid.
Okay, you wanted to write a fucking, yeah, for video games, not for companies to fucking use to sell better. No. But yeah, I'm not an astronaut, I'm not a spaceman, a policeman or fireman or whatever variety of man I am. I develop software. I'll put in a whole career worth of doing this shit and being good at it. And then retire, and then a month later die. You got to be fucking kidding me! That is the ultimate fuck you.
Make time for fun.
So that's right. Copyright Clayton, right. 2013. So that guy dies, and I'm like, well, at least I won't have to have that that terrible feeling of me ruining his hygiene by shitting out this mushroom cloud of beans and chicken that I ate last night. Maybe I did. Maybe he brushed my shit smell into like the cracks in his teeth, and it
exactly
traveled through some kind of a blood vessel into his heart, just fucking killed him. I don't know.
One shit cell got in there, fucked everything up.
And then, like 3 months after the guy died, another person who had been working there already just decided to start doing the same fucking thing at a different time.
What?
And there are, I don't know, I work with people, there's at least two or three people still that fucking brush their teeth after lunch and then fucking go back to their desk. They keep a little roll-out thing like you'd bring on a trip with the floss and the fucking toothpaste and the brush, and they brush their goddamn teeth in the bathroom, in the shitted-up bathroom. Now, you may think, okay, I'm at work, so it's a professional place. In this bathroom, you know, I could brush my teeth there if I needed to. I could take care of some non-shit, non-piss-related business in there if I had to. Oh, I got a little barbecue sauce on my fingers. Let me go in there and wash my hands. No. You don't go in there unless you have to expel waste, because it's a fucking nightmare. Every surface is permanently wet in that fucking bathroom. I don't know what it is. But
some kind of humidity issue or something.
No, yeah, humidity out of somebody's fucking dick Somebody's pissing on every fucking surface of that goddamn bathroom.
Oh, that happened in college to me. Somebody just they like must have just stood in the stall.
I'll tell you this.
And did a 360 while they were pissing.
I don't want to run down my company. I love it. I love working there. As much as I just expressed that I did. I guess I really
love working at this piss covered hellhole.
Look, you don't want to do it. It's not my passion to do what I'm doing now. It's not like if I could dream of what I want to do, it's not going to be this. Let's just say that. But I recognize it's a lot better than some of the stuff I could be doing. Anyway, I don't want to run my company down too much, but let's just say that there have been multiple memos and fucking face-to-face meetings, manager to employees.
What?
Where the information exchanged was essentially boiled down to, don't piss on the floor. There have been fucking meetings where our entire workforce was told not to piss on the floor.
Like, so, I really don't understand these people, because it seems like a problem everywhere, right?
I think it's only a problem in the men's rooms. It can't be a problem in women's rooms.
No, no. I've seen pictures of girls' college bathrooms where girls just... And it can be worse.
I bet you have, Steve. Online video indeed.
Yeah, no. Just pictures.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, communal bathrooms. You know, I think once you get over, like, 50 people using a bathroom, especially in a company, like, you get a floor, 100 people working in one floor, and they go to one bathroom, it gets bad, I think.
You know what? Amanda went to the bathroom somewhere. I think it was the mall. And, like, it was a swinging door. So, like, as it swings open, you can kind of get a glimpse of what is there. Not that I'm, like, peering in, but I just happened to see. She opened up the fucking door and walked in. And I swear to Christ, I saw a fucking... Not a love seat. A fucking couch. Sofa. A three-person fucking sofa. And a goddamn ficus tree. Like, a lounge. In there.
Yeah, well, men don't give a shit about that. Girls do. Girls are like, I don't know what it is with girls in the bathroom. They need to go in at least a pair.
Do you not understand that fucking women shit the same as dudes?
I understand that, but they need like a higher level of...
Like microfiber or not, that fucking couch is going to be a disaster. Who the fuck is sitting in a couch in a goddamn public bathroom?
Just think of the cushion. I mean, that's basically a sponge.
You could wring disease out of that fucking seat.
Someone sits on that, and then they stand up, and it sucks everything in when they sit up. Yeah. Stand up.
Exactly. Like give any cartoon supervillain could just fucking steal the couch out of every women's room.
Just plant it with it.
And melt it down into one super disease bomb. One super fucking dirty bomb. And then hold Superman. The world at bay with this fucking disgusting filth. And these bitches with their fucking brown bags filled with sweaters and their fucking belly full of hot wings are going in there and sitting and taking their fucking turn in there, breathing it in, sitting in it. It's fucking idiocy. And it's just as stupid as brushing your fucking teeth in a bathroom where you know people are pissing. It's not like, hey, there's a little moisture on the floor that might be piss. No, we've been told it's fucking piss. See, and people have been urged not to piss on the floor.
It amazes me that you need to even do that. And it seems like everyone has to do that everywhere. Like schools, workplaces, you know, like hotel rooms and shit.
You know what? If my dentist told me I had to brush my teeth, I would brush outside. I would go to my car and fucking brush.
Al fresco.
I would brush anywhere but that fucking bathroom. I would purchase a bottle of water and brush. I would fucking use river water. It'd probably be cleaner than that fucking bathroom.
See, I had to do that in college because they had, you know, every... Well, our freshman year, it was communal bathrooms for each floor. Luckily, my sophomore year was just, you know, everybody got their own bathroom. But it was definitely weird to me to brush my teeth in a place with shower stalls and fucking bathrooms where people are shitting in it. I mean, I guess, you know, I shit in my bathroom and also brush my teeth in it, but it's my bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with my filth. I mean, if I happen to dribble on the floor, I'm not going to sweat it, Steve. I'll scrape it up 2 weeks later, just like every other American. But it doesn't matter. It's my piss. Anyway, as referring to online video, you told me that you were running through a patch of not just Joe Goes, but Iron Mike Tyson. You were kind of taking a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I saw a video. I'll get to that video at the end, but saw a video of him recently. And then, you know,
what were you doing? You were looking up his old fights and shit, right?
Yeah, like, because I saw this one video, and I'm like, you know what, I'll look up some old videos. And I think one of them was just a bunch of Mike Tyson quotes, and then, like, he was talking about destroying different people and stuff like that, and, like, eating their children, and that he's a barbarian king, and all this crazy shit. So, like, I started going back, and I'm like, I'm going to watch, you know, like, the highlights of the fights. And they actually have full fights from a lot of his fights.
Yeah. Which amount to 3 minutes?
There was
some of them were bullshit fights. Though, because the whole main event was him, and then it would be like the day would be a build up to that fight. There would be like Mike Tyson, can he defeat Razor Ruddock? Blah blah blah, or he's fucking what? Leon Spinks, and then he would just the show out and beat the shit out of him in 25 seconds. Like the whole day meant nothing. Of course he could. Beat him in 25 seconds. And people would still show up. The crowds in those videos, you look at the crowds, they're in their best suits and shit. They're all dressed up. And this is the 80s. This isn't like 1952 baseball where people have the fucking, you know, the suit eating a hot dog watching the fucking, the Brooklyn Dodgers and shit.
It'd be the old guys with their call girls, you know, in Vegas and shit. It was nice.
Yeah, these people are dressed up. Now you watch any fucking event, it's bros and fucking
it's the WWF crowd gone to boxing, basically.
They're wearing like Affliction t-shirts and Ed Hardy shirts.
Yeah,
shirts that basically have like the long sleeves under the short sleeves that look like they have full tats. Have you ever
seen? No, I've never seen.
I saw some dude in the mall. I was with Amanda, and I guess that's all me and Amanda do. Now that I mention, every time I mention Amanda, was that something happened at the mall. But there was some guy with an Ed Hardy shirt, and he had like the t-shirt with the long sleeve shirt under it look, but the long sleeve shirt made it look like he had full sleeve tats.
So what? It was like a flesh color with tattoos on it.
Yeah, but it was baggy. Like, it wasn't like a Halloween costume. Oh, look, I've got tats for today.
Oh, God.
It was like a baggy long sleeve shirt that had like all these fucking tattoos of like whales and flowers and shit. Just fucking awful. I don't know. So anyway, Mike Tyson. Yeah, I get on that kick every now and then. I get on the Michael Jordan highlight reel. Mike Tyson knockout reel. I get in those moods every now and then and watch like everything I can find, even though I saw it maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, you know what it was? Someone on Facebook posted about something about Tyson, and someone, I think it was actually Shawnee Murphy, said that Mike Tyson would either win by a knockout or, you know, get destroyed. And I'm like, and that he would just sit there and take abuse. I'm like, dude, no way. Because if you watch Mike Tyson's old fights, Mike Tyson could dodge like a son of a bitch. He was like a mongoose. Like, he would just sit there and just...
Yeah, the first two rounds, right? And then, like, he slowed down significantly after the fourth round.
But he just didn't sit there and take abuse. I mean, he would dodge and just duck shit and just... He was really good like that. I thought he was a great... defensive, like, just not taking abuse, just missing abuse.
Sure.
But hey, I got onto a kick, and I saw his early fights when he had like Customato and shit, and it was kind of sad seeing Customato, because, you know, I don't know if you ever saw the movie with Michael Jai White. Like, Mike Tyson freaking loved that guy.
Yeah.
And then after Cus died, like, that's when shit started going downhill. And then all these people started, like, messing with his head. I mean, the guy's a psycho to begin with. Let's not, you know, mince words here. He's nuts.
Yeah, but was Customato really like this? I mean, he
was a father figure to him.
He was a father figure to him, but I mean, I don't know how to phrase this too well, but it's like, do you think that maybe he kind of raised him wrong a little bit? I mean, like, didn't really humanize him at all?
Well, Customato trained him to be a fighter. That was his job,
and so, that's what I mean, he did. But I mean, they always bring it up like he was this father figure, but he really didn't seem like he gave him any like humanity or anything like that. He just
but you didn't hear when he was
directed
young.
The rage into a boxer, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, as a trainer, you don't know that the guy's a complete mental case. I mean, yeah. I'm sure he wasn't that close with him, but. True. You never heard Mike Tyson going crazy during his early fights with like the pre-fight and just saying all crazy stuff like that. That like started developing after what was his name? Caton came in. I forget his name. And
I don't know.
And Don King, you know, he started, you know, basically doing fights under Don King, and then he started getting real nuts. And I think he got like a crew under him and different set of friends, and just started getting.
Whenever you get that fucking crew, whenever the famous. I'm going to say urban black athlete or entertainer gets the crew and he doesn't know all of them.
Yeah.
It just unfolds.
Yep. It starts going downhill. So I'm getting through, you know, some of his video and you know, he went, I think it was like 20-0 before his first loss or no decision or something like that.
Sure.
And, you know, getting further and further. And then I start watching the ones. I saved the last video I saved was him against Holyfield 1 and 2.
Wait, what do you mean you saved?
I saved that one to watch like at the end because I knew that's really, oh, okay. Really freaking went off the deep end.
Oh, so you held off from watching.
Right. I even went past that to watch his, you know, after he bit the ear, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw some of his other stuff.
Did he spit it? Like, did he just fucking spit it like Cape Fear?
No.
Like Robert De Niro just bit that whore's cheek off and just spit it on the fucking bureau?
I think he swallowed it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because there was like no like blood on the ring. It was just, he didn't really take off that much. I mean, it's not like his whole ear was gone.
True.
You know, it was like, you know, like a little piece of his ear, but whatever. I'm not trying to say that was right, but I mean, and then I went back to that and I watched the first fight. First fight was pretty good. You know, there was nothing really too crazy about it. He lost.
Was that the one where Tupac got killed?
Yeah, I think so.
Alright.
And then I watched the second one, and you know what? Like, after watching all this shit and realizing, you know, this guy didn't care. He didn't care about fighting, really. He just wanted to be a winner.
Hmm.
He didn't want to be a fighter. He wanted to be a winner.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying. There was no real value instilled by Customato except for you're a winner, you're a fighter, you win, and that's it. It's not like
he was
like,
a winner under Cust, though. That's what he was. So he didn't need to resort.
That's
to freaking,
that's true. But he didn't have any humility. Like if he happened to lose, it would be a tremendous. You'd be a failure.
Yeah, but the thing was, he never lost under Cust, so he didn't really need to go any further steps, is what I'm saying. So,
I guess
Cust didn't have to deal with that.
Sure,
but you know, I watched that, and then
I guess what I'm saying is maybe there shouldn't be such reverence for the guy. Like every time his story is told, there's like, man, if only that guy really stuck around. Why? So he could nurture the killer in this fucking guy for a few more years. I mean, what did he really do? He just fucking he just saw the fire in it.
Damage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah, Mike Tyson definitely has to have some form of brain damage at this point.
I'm sure he started out with some form and probably worsened it, but yeah. You know, it's not that I have reverence for him. I mean, I'll always cheer him. You know, I think you got a raw deal with the rape case.
Oh, I wasn't saying reverence for Tyson. I think Tyson is incredible. I think that guy deserves every bit of fucking respect he ever got. But I'm saying the Customato thing. You know, he did what he did, but it's not like he I don't know, man. He wasn't as positive of a fucking role model as every telling of that story brings out.
I don't think so either. I'm just saying, he just never had to deal with, like...
But they put, like, the soft piano around it when they fucking mention him. You know, they really feather the edge on that guy's story, and it just doesn't seem like how it is. But, yeah, so I don't know. At least Mike Tyson is doing better now. I mean, he's got his one-man show. He's got some kind of, like, a boxing thing he's doing, and...
Well, that was the first video that I said I was going to hold off on. The one that really got me into watching all this was him... as a fight promoter, that's his newest thing. He's going to be a fight promoter.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
You know, taking up the reins of Don King. Maybe I don't know if Don King's even involved anymore, but maybe competing against him. But
that's good.
They had a. He was promoting some fighter, and it was his first, you know, promotion event that Tyson was doing. And Mike's not in a good place. He said he's like I'm drinking. I'm not sober anymore. He's like, I want to die every day. I want to die. I'm like, this is how you're becoming a fight promoter.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Mike Tyson is in a dark place, but we are no longer in a dark place because we have a caller. And if you'd like to call the show, the number is 316-768-4472. We're live every Tuesday night. So if you're listening to this downloaded or you subscribed on iTunes, stop by on a Tuesday like this person did. You're on the DJ New Style show with Steve. Who's this?
Hey, this is Mike Tyson.
Oh, hi, let's Mike go. Tyson. How are you?
Worst impression ever, I know.
No. Oh, yeah. You mean this isn't really Mike Tyson?
Hi, this is Mike Tyson.
Hi, this is Mike Tyson.
I need some more money. I need to get on another TV show. Another hangover.
Look, I know who this is. This is our friend Jimmy. Little Jimmy Rhodes. Jimmy, how are you, buddy? What's going on?
Good. I'm in Texas looking for, shit, I just fucked it up.
Clayton,
thank you.
You're searching for Clayton from Texas?
Yeah, I am.
It's a pretty big state to search.
I was about to say.
I'll give you one hint, though. You probably want to go south until you hit Mexico and then back up a little bit, like 2 feet.
Well, luckily, I'm not that south.
Yeah, that's true. But that's where Clayton is. So if you're looking for him, then now you know where to go. So what are you doing in Texas, Jimmy?
Laying off a bunch of people.
Oh, shit. Wait, you're like George Clooney? You're up in the air? You're the Axeman?
Exactly. Buzzkill, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. So you fly over?
I would kill myself if Jimmy fired me from any job.
So let me ask you this. How does that work? You fly out to a branch, and they know you're coming, but they don't know why?
No, it's just me walking in the door like, oh, shit.
Oh, they know? Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
Do they know what you look like?
No. No, as soon as I say the name, it's like, oh, shit.
So you walk in the door, they don't greet you, you don't get like a spread of bagels and some coffee, it's just you're in there, and it's going to be one, you enter and like 10 people leave.
Yes, well, sort of.
So did you do your firings for today, or do you have more to go?
I go back tomorrow morning before I fly home, yeah.
So how many people have you fired so far in this trip?
This trip, this location's 5 people.
So wait, hold on. When did you get there?
About, I don't know, 6 hours ago.
Oh, so you haven't been in yet?
No, I got there. Did I you flew right and from you, the airport there.
And you got rid of somebody today?
2 people today, yeah. And there's 4 tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How do you go into work tomorrow? Fuck that. What if they didn't just show up?
Well, then they're fired themselves. So nice. It's actually cheaper for us.
Then they fire themselves. I've never heard that term before.
They resigned. They resigned. They saw the writing on the wall.
They forcefully resigned.
Exactly. Now you know why I land and I drink so much.
God,
it's not a fun job.
Damn it. Man.
Jim, are you nice about it?
Have you ever enjoyed one of these? Like, has there ever been like a dick?
Yes, there has been times. To Steve's point, I'm very nice, but there are times where I've enjoyed it, where the people are assholes.
Wow.
And I enjoy it very much. It's like Office Space where I like to come out the fucking door. Yeah.
You use foul language? You ever use foul language with him?
You know what? At this point, I can't say that I haven't. There's been times where I've been attacked, and I've had to, but...
You've been attacked?
I turned into Mike Tyson a couple times, so yeah.
The verbal Mike Tyson.
Hold on.
Oh, no, I've gotten physical.
Physically attacked.
Oh, yeah.
Take us through the setting. Okay, so you call somebody's name through like an intercom, or you walk up to them or send them an email?
No, it's all personal. It's a small, you know, this location is 20 people. It's a small environment.
So do you bring them into a conference room, something like that?
A small room, yeah.
Okay. And is there a table between the two of you, or is it just kind of like confession style where like the priest is in a chair? Like, you're in a chair, and he's in a chair, and there's just an open space between you. What's the layout?
It depends on the location. Today, there was a table, it's like a break table between the two. So, you have about a 3-foot barrier between two people.
Okay. So, is it one-on-one?
Oh, it's always one-on-one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you never just try and save time and be like, okay, all right, Samson, Abramson, and Joseph. We need to talk to all of you.
No, sometimes it's 2-on-1, but it's never 2 employees getting fired at the same time.
Okay, so you get in there, you pull their chair out a little bit, they sit down, you make your way around the table, and you sit down, and you say, you know why we're here, blah, blah, blah. And how does it come to blows? Give me the exact reaction of the person that attacked you.
So the best case was a customer complained of sexual harassment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And the employee said, you're effing, well, this isn't censored, so you're fucking out of your mind, and started throwing shit, lifted the table up, like a Mike Tyson type move.
Oh, shit.
And got like fucking physical, saying, you can't fire me, I have kids, my wife is going to leave me, blah, 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 blah.
Dude starts giggling.
I go, I've been there, I've done that. I'm just kidding. My wife might listen to the show, so I'm joking. what was that?
Jesus Christ. So wait. So he flips the table over like it's a goddamn cowboy shootout and then says, you can't fire me, I have kids.
Exactly, yeah. They're always remorseful after they react.
Yeah.
You know, after they go crazy, they're like, no, don't fire me. I just made a complete fool of myself and started, you know, making a scene, but please don't fire me.
There's never a chance that you're going to get your job, right? I mean, you're never going to change the mind. They're never going to be able to change your mind to have you keep them at that point, right?
I have caved once in a while.
So wait, the final decision rests with you then. So like, if someone pleads their case well enough, you'll let them keep the job, is what you're saying.
There has been circumstances when they've not, you know, depends on the severity of the crime, per se.
Okay.
But there has been cases where they've proved their innocence, and I am a very open court, and I will listen.
So wait, you're judge, jury, and executioner of this company? Is that what you're saying?
Of the division, the area, it depends. Yeah, it depends on severity. But yes,
okay.
I mean, I always pull back HR and legal, make sure that if I make a decision, I follow through with it. But
now I know you can't go into specifics, but can you give me like a generalization of like the worst thing that someone did to get fired? I don't know if you're legally able to say. I don't know.
Well, I don't have to say names.
Don't say locations. Don't say companies.
I'm not
names.
I'm not going to. I'm even drunk. I know when to.
Okay.
No, you don't.
The company line. Yes, I do. That's why I've been with the company for as long as I have. There's been two. There was one sexual harassment, which was extremely bad, where it involved underage text or sexting.
No way.
Employee to a, you know, a younger woman. That one was really bad.
Sexting?
And then sexting, yes. A young, attractive 16-year-old walks in without her parents and The employee decides that he's going to sext her.
Because
he took care of her. That one was a very easy termination.
Yeah.
Racial ones are very hard. Those are the ones.
Racial
that are,
ones?
Yeah, racial ones are very hard.
Like hate crime things?
You know, even when it's the same race.
Oh, I see.
You know, some racial people can use interracial terms without...
You're dancing on really fucking thin ice, man. I don't think you should fucking specify.
He's talking about white-on-white crime is what he's talking about.
Sure. Why do you think I'm saying racial? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying there's been some altercations.
There's some kind of racial words that certain races are allowed to use and other races are not allowed to use, but it's still...
Yeah, it's... Exactly.
It's some kind of take half of a gray races. Area, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. You might be an Oreo and think that you're cool, so...
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah.
You went there.
Jesus Christ. So anyway, four more tomorrow, huh?
Tomorrow I have four more, and then I take a nice first-class flight home.
Nice.
And land at midnight.
You're going to have yourself a little cinnamon biscuit or whatever the fuck they give the first-class people.
No, I have a full meal tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. This is one of the longer flights. I get a full meal.
I've never flown first-class, Jimmy, never.
I tell you, you know, my wife makes fun of me. She considers that I'm privileged, and I get mad when I don't fly first class because I fly so much. Now, I have to make a statement here. I never pay for first class.
Yeah.
I get bumped up to first class because of my status.
There you go.
And she thinks that I think that I'm entitled, and I get mad when I don't fly first class and I have to sit in second class.
It's not second class. It's called
second class.
It's called coach, Jimmy. Dignify us. Dignify us.
I call it second class, all right?
It's not wrong.
Why not today? I was at row 20. That was like third class. I'm like, you know, third world country.
I feel good when we go on Southwest and I can pick the exit row. The one with no seat in front of you. And you can fucking stretch out the entire time. And you look over at Amanda, and she's fucking crumpled up in the middle seat. And I may as well be on a goddamn hammock. I'm all stretched out, perfect.
I tell you, you know, the exit row, I mean, that's like, I mean, I don't want to say first class, second class. That's like you won a lottery, but you had to split it with like 10 people. That's what the exit row is like.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. I mean, it's like the $50 scratch off. To the first class's, straight and box pick three.
Exactly. I mean, the only difference in first class is I get my money's worth by drinking heavily.
But you don't pay.
For the 2 to 3 hours I'm in the flight. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't pay. So that's good.
Well, you don't pay, exactly. So I get my money's worth by...
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever caused a scene on a plane?
Well, the only time I cause a scene is when I listen to your show... And
oh yeah!
My headset fell out. Yeah, that was the only time, and that happened to be in first class. And,
oh shit!
But actually, you know what? No, I take it back. It's not really a scene. Last week, I was flying to Charlotte, and it was a 6 a.m. flight, and I fell asleep. And you ever get remember like the school bus where I always like fell asleep and then started like, you know, freaking out. Like you wake up and you're like spaz.
Yeah.
Well, I spazzed on the plane. The guy next to me got really offended because I, like, he said I almost knocked him out. I might have just gave him a love tap, but I freaked out. Like, I fell asleep and, like, spazzed up and, like, wailed my arm.
Yeah, your arms do flail about and you kind of, like, bump your head against the wall and you fucking look around like basically like a hobo that got rolled, basically.
Well, if I'm not in first class, I fly.
Let me get my 15-minute rest. Let me get my 15-minute rest. I'm just trying to sleep, and y'all don't got to bother me none.
I always do, though. I get on a plane, I have, it's either an aisle or first class is the only way I'll fly. I'll skip a plane if I don't have an aisle or first class.
Jesus.
So, you get perks. Again, my wife thinks I'm entitled. I'll miss a freaking hour flight and go back to the club and drink until the next flight comes. So, you know, there's two things that happen when you're in the aisle. You either get the stewardess that wow you with the cart because your arm's in the freaking aisle.
Yeah.
Or you don't have a place to sleep, so you fall asleep like still body, and you wake up and you're either resting on someone or smacking someone. It happens.
Yeah, the aisle's no good because invariably the other two people will have to piss. And I don't let them.
I give them the dirty bird when they try to get up.
You give them the what?
The dirty bird. You give them the look. You're like, seriously, you're fucking trying to get up right now. You get up when I tell you to get up.
Jesus. Running it like a goddamn warden. That's what it is, Jimmy.
Jimmy the Inquisitor.
It's true.
I prefer not to fly at all. It's reckless.
I think you should for your next flight, get a copy of White Wine, the book by Streeter Seidel, which is about first world problems. It basically sheds light on one of the more important issues. It's self-important white entitlement and all the problems that people think they have.
So yeah, I heard your intro with that. Will that make me money?
Will it make you money? No.
Yeah.
It'll make.
Yeah, no, I'm not reading it.
Then you're not gonna read it.
Jimmy, do you know how to read?
Jimmy, you only read stuff that'll make you money. Is that correct?
I will only read entrepreneurial books or anything.
What was that word again?
Entrepreneurial books.
Okay.
Jimmy, I love you.
Yeah, Jimmy's the best.
In a manly way.
I will only read that way. I will only read it. If it's not something that will make me money, look, I will admit it, I have a limited brain span. If it is not drinking or money related.
You concentrate so hard on drinking, don't you?
No. Drinking makes me read. If I don't drink, I can't read. I have to concentrate.
You can't read unless you're drunk.
He's got to slow his brain down.
I'm not drunk. I just, when I don't drink, I think so much about so many different things, I can't concentrate.
So basically, drinking.
I have something called drunken ADD.
Oh, so drinking just shuts down a few of the threads that your brain has going on.
Exactly.
And then you just operate on a single fucking thread, and you only do one thing at a time, and you use it, and then you're able to read.
Jimmy's a natural hyper-threader.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the internet has made it very hard to concentrate. You try reading a book and get a freaking CNN money alert, CNN regular alert. We're going to bomb this. We're going to bomb that. The Yankees just won. You know how hard it is to
I don't have alerts. I only have the alerts are the worst. I have texting and phone calls are the only things that are allowed to fucking bleep me on my fucking phone. Well, the only alerts I'll receive are text and calls, because I'll go to the fucking apps to get updates. I don't need fucking
right.
Like Twitter. Like, who is the fucking person that has Twitter push requests? Or you do?
I don't have Twitter, but no. I actually sat at the bar for 2 hours with the guy that does social media advertiser, and I talked to him. I'm a very anti-Twitter person, but like CNN, the news, like I got a text message when I got off the plane that in my hometown an ambulance hit a telephone pole. And what did I do? I immediately stopped everything I did and fucking looked at the news alert and said, oh shit, look at that. Let me read about it.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta stop what you're doing because, oh, it's interesting. It's like you turn on the news and every 2 seconds something else is going on.
Yeah, but if you turn off that alert, it's like it never happened. And then you can find out about it later. You'll go and you'll look.
I'll never go look.
That's the thing.
It's not money related, so I won't do it.
And an ambulance accident is money related?
No. That's what I'm saying. If it's not money related, I won't force myself.
Oh, I see. But okay, I got you. So the fact that it was in your face, you read it, but you would never seek it out because it's not going to actually earn you any money. It's not an entrepreneurial book.
Entrepreneurial. Hey, you know what? We're going to call it Entrepreneurial from now on.
Entrepreneurial feud.
Just like, yeah. Cheesequake feuding?
Yeah.
I told my wife about that the other day.
No, you didn't. Maryland. Why would you tell your wife?
Because we were talking about, you know, exits. My sister was coming down. I asked her if she went to the Cheesecake Fueling. She laughed.
The best. We're going down the shore one year. And there's Chesapeake in New Jersey, as most normal people would call it. And it was there was a sign on the parkway. I think I don't know where we were going. It might have been AC or something, but
It was what's it?
It was like, isn't it Cheesequake?
Cheesequake fueled on?
No, it's Chesapeake.
It's spelled Cheesequake.
No, it was Cheesequake.
Yeah, but it's called Chesapeake. Just like Worcestershire is not spelled Worcestershire. It's Worcestershire.
Well, it's you know
British
what?
Name. Anyway.
Fuck so them, going, okay? It's fucking Cheesequake. I'm with Jimmy on that one.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's a Cheesequake food and fuel.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's like looking out the window and he's like, Cheesequake feudin'. Somehow food and fuel became feudin'.
Feudin'.
Jimmy just cuts out the middle syllables. He keeps the first syllable, the last syllable of a sentence, and makes a new word.
I think you should register feudin.com.
Yeah, there's no money in that.
He doesn't know how to spell it.
I don't. I won't lie.
Do you think it exists? This is a quick quiz. Do you think feudin.com is registered?
I got $10 saying it is not.
InstantDomainSearch.com, and here we are, Feudin, F-U-E-D, F-E-U.
It was Foodin. Wasn't it Foodin? How do you spell it, Steve? Because we use the text all the time.
No, it was like Feudin, like fuel, F-U-E, and then D-E-N.
Yeah.
Fuck, Feudin.com is taken.
Fuck it, God damn it. All right, there's $10 in free advertising for you.
You missed out, sons of bitches. All right, Jimmy.
But is it, hold on though, is it taken and not registered? Because those .com stealers are pissing me off.
Oh, there is no site on it, but.
Yeah, those people piss me off.
Why? Is that still a thing, domain name sitting?
They do it.
Yeah, they piss me off. Like one guy, you know, I had a registered trademark, and this motherfucker wanted to.
Goatweed just bought feudin.com.
Hell yeah, Goatweed.
It's going to take off. Feudin!
All right, gentlemen, I've taken up enough of your time.
That's okay, Jimmy.
Show.
Jimmy, thank you very much.
Up and listen.
It's over, Jim. Thanks.
Love you, Jimmy.
No, it's over, Jimmy.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Yes. Good luck tomorrow with your fucking family-devastating news that you're going to deliver to four people.
This is earth-shattering news.
Yes.
CNN out.
Okay, CNN out indeed. That's our friend Jimmy, the case doctor. More on that later. We're going to be we're doing some kind of a biz dev thing with Jimmy. He's got he's got some things that we have something brewing that we're going to be working on. Some kind of a cross promotion of sorts.
Does it involve boxes from the Wiz?
It involves boxes of sorts. And that's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Because nothing's finalized yet. I have to close this picture of fucking Bruno Mars that you sent me. I don't know why I still have it up.
I wish I still had that picture. What was her name? Rousey?
Yeah, well, Steve sends me this picture during the show prep where he goes, look at this. And it's a picture of Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars standing next to each other. And Bruno Mars looks like he's about 3 feet tall. If I'm telling you, just look at. I'll put this in the chat room. It's easily searchable. Just put Taylor Swift, and then Bruno Mars. That's all you need to search for, and you'll see this picture. I'm gonna put it in there. Da, 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 if I can get there quickly. Sorry, I'm a little fucking fucked up. There it is. Okay. His waist comes up to her fucking knees.
Yep.
I mean, she's 5'10", 5'11". She's not a giant. Tall drink of water, though. God damn. But this motherfucker, his eyeballs are right at her fucking nipples. Like, his eyes are nipple height with Taylor Swift. Fucking little manlet that he is.
Oh, Ronda Rousey. I found it. Nice. Oh. Leave that one up.
Steve's got a bit of a crush on Ronda Rousey. This point,
she's but nice.
It's not a bad thing to have. So you were looking at your Mike Tyson videos, and I was looking at some other things that were sort of I guess could fall under the category of 80s reminiscent. I found my way onto fucking Sylvester Stallone's Twitter feed.
There you go.
I don't know if anybody follows at the Sly Stallone on fucking Twitter. This guy, fucking Sylvester Stallone, is goddamn unintelligible on fucking Twitter.
Keep in mind, he's a writer for Hollywood also.
Yeah, and he's been writing since 76, where he was awarded for his writing. Best Picture, Rocky. So I found out that apparently he just tweets endlessly about the next Expendables movie. And it could be at any moment in time. If the last one was the first one, he's talking about two. If the last one was two, he's talking about fucking three. He's always talking about the next Expendables movie.
Actually, the last one was two, and he's also talking about five.
That's true. He's talking about the next fucking two movies. Three movies. So I found out that Bruce Willis was in Expendables 2. And I guess the whole point of the movie is just to bring everybody that had success in the 80s together under one fucking franchise. And just blow shit up behind him.
Little bank for the action stars.
Yeah. So apparently Willis was in the second one. And I saw this tweet from Stallone on August 6th that says, "Willis out." And this is all in caps, mind you. Should I yell, I guess?
Yeah, you have to yell it.
All right, let me give you an example of a regular tweet. Here. "New team, a blessing. Best group of the year. Expendables looking fresh and strong." See? That's an example where the yelling is caps. So right. This one here about Bruce Willis says, "Willis out, Harrison Ford in. Great news. Been waiting years for this." Just fucking insanity. The rambling of a fucking lunatic. But what I found interesting is that he's really happy about Bruce Willis being off of the Expendables and being replaced with Harrison Ford. And the reason is explained in his next tweet, which is "greedy and lazy, a sure formula for career failure." And then he never fucking said anything else about Bruce Willis again. And I'm like, holy shit, man. So a lot of these things you hear about fucking Bruce Willis being a complete asshole, a fucking hack, a fucking cold, untalented, fucking greedy, lazy piece of shit, it just becomes truer and truer the more you hear from celebrities. Like, you would hear a rumor about a star before Twitter, before Facebook, before celebrities, you know, had a voice that wasn't a press release. And it would just kind of be something you'd hear and you'd think, and maybe you'd kind of come through in a performance and you'd never really know. But now we have the likes of, Sylvester Stallone and Kevin Smith just, like, working with the guy and then fucking saying off the cuff to everybody that follows them that this dude is a lazy, greedy piece of shit, basically. So it seems like everybody who fucking works with Bruce Willis hates the guy.
He's got to be lazy because he's Bruce Willis in every movie.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he never does anything outside of his own persona.
Like, does he? He doesn't have to. Does he have to? I mean,
that's what he gets cast as. I mean, you need a guy like that, you know, you cast Bruce Willis. You need a Bruce Willis character, just cast him.
I'm trying to think of something he did where it was a little different.
In The Jackal, he was gay. That's the closest thing I could figure out.
Hmm. Well, let me see Bruce Willis on IMDb. Because I'm not a huge fucking Bruce Willis fan. I mean, I like Die Hard like anybody else. But
I like Sixth Element. I mean, I thought he was good in that.
Fifth Element and Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense, that's
You just fucking jimmied his movie titles. You realize that, right? You feuded his fucking movie titles.
You do realize he was just talking to us, and I've known Jimmy for a very long time.
Of course. Jimmy rubs off. The best. A Good Day to Die Hard, you know.
Yeah, I'm assuming all the diehards, same as,
that,
you know.
That movie was a special kind of piece of shit. Like,
I never saw that one. That's the last one, right?
I saw the preview, and like... I never felt so fucking viscerally upset that's and the angry.
One with the, that's the one with the
yo. I'm from
Galaxy Quest, right?
Local boy, New Jersey, fucking North Plainfield makes good or some shit. Like he says some fucking shout out to Jersey, and I'm like, shut the fuck up. God damn it. Stop being the same motherfucker. We get it. Like, there's something to be said about a character just fucking riding off into the sunset and you never fucking hear about him again. Something to be fucking said about that. It keeps the movie good. Like, there was a commercial with Ferris Bueller, and I remember fucking Veal Chop just expressing complete disgust that fucking Matthew Broderick and Honda decided to bring fucking Ferris Bueller back as a goddamn adult driving a fucking minivan just to kind of show us some new antics that he might do as a fucking adult. And I totally agreed with him. I thought it was a great fucking point. We got to see that guy on that one glorious fucking day have everything work out in his fucking favor and then go off into the fucking sunset and live whatever life we thought he might have. But no, now they're showing it to us that he's just as fucking pathetic as every one of us.
Yeah.
It fucking ruins the movie. Even if it's in a different movie, it ruins the previous fucking movie.
I found one that might be a little bit out of his normal box. Moonrise Kingdom. I don't know if you saw that Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was pretty good. I didn't see the whole thing because I got bored. But
it was pretty good. I got bored.
Yeah, it was good up until the boring part. But he was definitely a little bit different. But he was still one end of the spectrum of Bruce Willis. It's not like...
I don't think I've seen a fucking Wes Anderson movie.
Some of them are good.
I mean, I hear that. I hear a lot of people saying that. It just never grabbed me. And I never felt compelled to watch one of them. Do you know of one that is a must watch?
To me, Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Okay. I definitely really like that movie. I've never seen Rushmore. I've seen parts of it, but not the whole thing. Same thing with Royal Tenenbaums.
See, that's the one I hear is the best. You have to see. That's Royal the Tenenbaums, one you right? need to see. Yes. And it fucking passed me by. The time came and went. I mean, I guess I could pick it up, but it's like, yeah, okay, oh yeah. I feel like that would be a movie that I'd watch and like. I'd kind of tell people I saw it, and they'd be like, great. Like, if somebody tells you, like, hey, I just started watching The Sopranos. I never saw it before. I really actually like it. You might say, holy shit, yeah, it was great. Where did you get to in the show? Blah, blah. You might actually, like, try and figure it out with them. But I feel like with a movie, like... people fucking saw it 10 years ago. They're not going to want to fucking, share that experience with you just because you just fucking saw it. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm going through
I'm becoming list. Biased, though, because, like, the more I hear about something being good, I kind of am skeptical. I don't know. From certain types of people. Certain types of people... Their fucking recommendations are no good to me. However, Sandwich Humor Jeff is vouching for them, and I do trust his sensibilities. So I will take a look at one of them, at least one, and I'll see if I want to continue.
Yeah, he's saying Bottle Rocket's great, and that was his first, I think, first.
So maybe I'll start there. Maybe I'll start there, and I'll relive the experience and have nobody to fucking turn to.
I mean, they're different kind of movies. I mean. If I would ever call a movie offbeat, it would be every Wes Anderson movie.
Okay.
Because they're offbeat movies just about, like, content you would never think about,
Right. Non sequiturs. It's like all of a sudden a fucking...
Sure.
A fucking personified deer is smoking a cigar or something.
No.
I don't know.
They're all pretty much reality-based, but just, people acting like quirky people. They're usually pretty good.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I love Life Aquatic. That's one of my favorite, actually, Bill Murray movies, is Life Aquatic.
Did you watch it on Labor Day weekend? That extra day everybody had? And you just chill out.
No, I was playing MMORPGs.
Ugh. Is it, those are still like really, really popular.
No. No, they're not. But it was Elder Scrolls. So I never
seriously played one. Never did.
Never played Major Mud?
It's not really an MMORPG.
It's a massive.
It was a fucking chat room. It was a chat room.
Online.
It was a text-based fucking game.
Uh-huh.
Okay, how about this? Barring Major Mud, which was a fucking chat room, essentially, that you could kill people in.
Did you script it?
I did.
Yeah, so you weren't chatting when you were scripting, were you?
That's true. But right. in order to keep up with my friends, I had to. Otherwise, I was.
Why do you have to keep up?
So I can fucking communicate with them.
You can communicate with them.
They're too busy fighting their fucking fake dragons. Yeah. Whatever the fuck it was. Anyway, what's that?
No, go ahead.
No, what'd you say?
I said Project Colon. Only Shoni Murphy would get that.
I don't know what that is.
He'd laugh his ass off, too.
Well, if I said that to him at work tomorrow.
Yeah, say Project Colon.
I will. And I'll give you his exact reaction, which I'm only going to suspect will be, what? And then I'll say, Steve told me to say it. And I'll go, Steve.
And then he'll walk away.
I guarantee you that'll be his reaction.
I've never seen Sean laugh as much as when this was brought up, but nobody knows what I'm talking about.
That's true. So, yeah, I've never played any conventional fucking MMORPGs. And I don't really, I don't know if they still have a widespread appeal. You're saying they don't, but it seems like you've just dedicated a weekend to a new one.
Right. Well, it's a beta.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
It was a weekend beta. And I'm like, all right, I'll play for the weekend. So I played. That's all. And before that, like the only video game I played was Borderlands a couple months ago. And then before that, it was like nothing. I've been playing a console game forever.
I've been obsessively playing Mario Kart for the Wii. Ever since my defeat at the company Olympics.
Oh, you lost?
I've been bitter. I've been very bitter. So not only did I lose, so here's the structure of it. The last day, my team came in third. I didn't get any sort of a prize or recognition. No day off. But the Mario Kart event was a four-player multiplayer game. And it's two-on-two. So we had two people from our team, and I was one of them, and against some other team. And we lost. The first round, we lost. You have to win twice. And I took second place. So I'm thinking I'm doing pretty well. And all of a sudden, someone from my team comes over, and they're like, all right, give me the controller. I'm like, I got second place, though. And the guy's like, yeah, well, you know, I got a strategy. He grabs it. And then the other team won, so they get to pick the fucking board. They pick this board.
Rainbow Road?
No, not Rainbow Road. The ghost one. The ghost one where you can drive off the... it's all right angles.
Yeah.
Based on Super Nintendo. And the guy picked that, and
He knew the board.
He knew the shortcuts, and it became evident that the guy who replaced me had never fucking played the game, as he was driving off every fucking time. Every time he started, drove right off the fucking edge. Brought back on, next turn, off the fucking edge. Didn't even finish a lap, and the fucking goddamn race was over.
Oh, no.
I was fucking out of my mind. Beside myself. I'm like, this is second place. I could have easily been first, but no. So it wasn't meant to be. So for some reason, I'm doing the practicing that maybe I should have done leading up to the event. I'm just kind of falling back into a level of interest with the game where I feel like I have to get all the gold medals that are available. I have to unlock everything.
Oh yeah.
So now I'm obsessing over this fucking game that was out 8 years ago at this point. Was it 7 years? It doesn't matter.
What, first Wii? Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Doesn't really matter. But I'd never played with the fucking nunchuck, Steve. I'd never played with that. I only played with the fucking motion wheel thing. And I get to the competition, and people are holding the fucking nunchuck. I'm like, well, what the fuck is that? Where are the wheelies? Where are the fucking wheelies?
I thought you were going to bring one.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. And I fucking forgot.
Well.
And then I said, yeah, well, what if I just unplug the nunchuck and use a... He goes, it's against the rules. Did you read the rules? And I looked at the rules, and it says, you may not unplug the nunchuck. The game is played with the nunchuck and the Wiimote.
Why didn't you read the rules?
I skimmed the rules, Steve!
You're the type of guy that would just click accept for the EULA.
Yeah, I am. And so is everybody fucking else. Steve, don't tell me you fucking read the EULA or the
Never.
EULA.
The EULA.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Steve. It was a productive Labor Day weekend. Did you do anything, by the way? Any picnicking? Any fireworks?
Went down to the shore again. Our fireworks yesterday, because we had a 4th of July in my town. They got rained out.
Wait.
So they postponed it to Labor Day.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay.
And it was kind of funny because there was supposed to be, I think it was at 8 o'clock. At like 7:55, it started downpouring. Like, it was just massive downpour. And I'm just driving around. I'm like driving around because it's at my old high school. So I'm like doing laps around the high school, watching the fireworks go off. I'm like, these motherfuckers, like everybody's running through the streets with ponchos on. I was laughing my ass off. It's funny.
So you
just went home.
So you went to the shore one last time.
One last dance. Yep.
Did you play any of the coin pushers that we mentioned last time?
No, I played nothing this time. And you know what I was kind of mad about? And I didn't really realize it last time we were talking about this. One of my favorite things to do on the boardwalk was when they had the pitch speed game. You just basically paid a dollar, got three balls, and see how fast you could throw.
Okay.
They're gone. I haven't seen one of them. I mean, I went to Point Pleasant, so I don't know if they still have them at like Wildwood or Seaside or what.
I don't know. Maybe it's not a big fucking draw. Maybe you're the only asshole that loved that fucking game.
I don't understand, man. There was always a line.
You know, ever since our one conversation we had about the shore,
yep.
I've been looking to see if anybody could beat these fucking shore things, like the coin grabber or the coin pusher.
There's pros out there, the guys that know like all the angles.
And there's a YouTube channel of this guy that has beaten like every possible...
Everything. Right.
Coin grabber. He's like he's like this 30 something bro who dresses like late teens.
Oh really? I saw one with an older guy who
got my like last $4. I'm gonna see if I can get this get a prize out of this one. So it's a nice one. I've seen this one in the Outer Banks. I've seen this one in Florida. And he goes to the same fucking arcade. He goes to arcades all over, just records himself playing with the fucking coin grabby thing. Or the fucking coin grabby. Jesus Christ.
Oh, the grab
the
machine.
Claw. It's like, I got claw myself machine. A sweet MP4 player. It's like one of those fucking bootleg iPods. It looks like the first generation iPod, but it was made in like Seoul, Korea by indentured servants. It's fucking
E-pod.
Six generations of iPods later. It's fucking the same design. Only plays MP4. It's like got a fucking 256 meg capacity. Bullshit. But he put like 20 bucks in and fucking won it. It's like, yeah, I won it. So blah, blah. And all his videos have like hundreds of thousands of views. And I caught myself like six videos in. I'm watching this guy's fucking videos. I just had a moment of realization where I'm watching a guy fucking play a coin pusher machine. Like, what am I expecting to see? Like, him hit it big and win $2? Just fucking, like, the guy lost all his money playing this fucking coin pusher machine, and I'm watching it, and then I read the comments, like, oh, yeah, I played this one, I was there, oh, yeah, you almost had it, blah, blah, blah. Like, these are positive comments for a nothing fucking video.
Those people are commiserating, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I spent the wad last time I was there. $100, didn't win shit.
Yeah, he was using the skill stop. Just really going fucking nuts on it. I don't know. Yeah, it really fucking put me in a bad place, Steve. I was in a fucking YouTube spiral that I really couldn't shake out of for quite a while.
Sometimes that's fun. Sometimes that's dangerous.
It's horrific. I mean, if it's a disease, if it's a Mike Tyson fight, if it's Jordan dunk fest, I'm okay with it. But I'm watching some guy fucking, you know, lose the few dollars he has to a fucking machine. And, like, talk to his audience about it. Like, hey, gang, you know, we're here at fucking Funko World, and we're gonna see we play this Quicksilver. Make a little money. That's what he said. Make a little money. And he made the little fucking finger thing where he rubs his fingers to indicate wealth. I'm like, you're gonna lose that $4. Like, you should save it and buy some fucking handy snacks, because you're looking pretty gaunt, to be honest. Think you have a problem.
Eat a burger, son.
Yeah. Oh, it's the worst. I don't know, Steve.
Yep, internet tangents, dangerous.
Yeah. Did a little work around the house. Put up some molding.
Nice.
Just getting there. I mean, it's really, really fucking... the whole fucking act of fixing this house has been the slowest fucking progress ever.
It always is. Houses are slow.
No, it's not always that slow. This is like unusually goddamn fucking slow. I've had the house like 4 years at this fucking point. Almost. We're coming up on fucking 4 years, and I'm still doing door trim. Like, I got into a state where it's like, fuck it. Fuck it. This is just the house. You work fucking like 10-hour days. You get home. The last thing you want to do is fucking... prime molding, fucking paint shit, sand shit, nail shit up, cut shit. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to fucking do a goddamn thing. But I have to, because I live here, and I don't want it to look like I was devastated like by 3 hurricanes ago. I could say, yeah, hurricane really fucked us up. No, actually, I just tore the fucking molding down because I was ambitious 4 years ago.
You still have stuff in boxes?
I always will. I'm pretty sure I always fucking will. I didn't even look at one of the boxes, and I just fucking threw it out. I obviously don't need it. I've lived a fucking percentage of my, like, 2 years of my life, 3 years of my life without even peering into the box.
That was your baseball card collection.
Oh, well. Who gives a shit?
What am I gonna... Doesn't matter. It's not worth anything anyway.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was, like... I don't get it. Where do you cash in a baseball card collection, Steve?
You don't.
You don't. Nobody does. I mean, you have these things that are supposedly worth money, but you need a fucking buyer for those. It's like, yeah. Oh, my fucking Roberto Clemente rookie card is worth a lot of money. Yeah, to who? Who's going to fucking buy it? Oh, well, there's got to be some jackass on fucking eBay that'll do it. Great.
Someone in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, do it. I don't know. Sandwich Humor Jeff is saying that I got caught in a Smitty cycle. It does happen.
Yeah, that is a Smitty cycle. You just, you know.
It definitely happens.
Spiraling around on the internet.
And then then the worst is you realize where you are and what you've been doing. And it's like, what? It's got to be like when a killer says he just went blank and just woke up around all these bodies. I went blank and woke up with a fucking browser history that's just the most embarrassing thing I could ever fucking imagine. I watched a dude play fucking coin pusher for an hour, probably. Like, oh, the $5 bill. Didn't go over. Gotta go to the right. Fuck. I mean, I'm not audibly doing that, but in my head, that's the commentary I'm having while watching this fucking loser play this stupid game. But who's the loser, Steve? He's doing it. I'm watching it.
Yeah. There are those who do and those who watch.
Do you think the actor from Life Goes On is dead or alive?
Which one? Quirky?
Can you name any other actors in that show?
No.
Yeah.
I know there was a mother and a father.
Yeah, but when you say... Well, that's another good question. If you say, hey, is that actor from Life Goes On dead? They're going to instantly think of the retarded guy, right? Was that the first show to have a Down syndrome person on it?
Yeah, Down syndrome, not full retard.
Wait, I mean, what's the difference?
Isn't oh, there's yeah, Down syndrome is like half retarded.
Hold on.
No, Down syndrome is
what is not... being what is being retarded? And I know the R word is a big crime now, but what is being retarded?
That's when you have a chromosomal deficiency. That's I think Down syndrome is a partial chromosomal deficiency. You have like you have an extra chromosome if you're retarded. Down syndrome, I think, is like a partial extra chromosome. It's not as severe as full retardation.
And this is why Yahoo Answers has not been taken down. Is Down syndrome and mental? By the way, this is the way the question was phrased by someone named IDK. They write,
I don't know.
Is Down syndrome and mental retarded the same thing? Mental retarded. No. Look at Wikipedia and search Down syndrome, mental retardation. Down syndrome is a form of mental retardation, but it's a sensitive topic. Don't go brandishing information unless you are sure about it.
So he didn't even fucking answer the question.
No, he basically did RTFM. Oh, actually, he did RTRFM. Read the retarded fucking manual. Oh, Jesus Christ. If Down syndrome is a form of mental retardation, and the guy's asking if it's the same thing, I mean, isn't it kind of the fucking same thing?
I'm pretty
like,
sure
it's, Down syndrome isn't that is. Almost like saying, are bluegills and fish the same thing?
Yeah.
No, well, no, they're not, but a bluegill is a fish.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, there's still a level of, you know, going back, which is what retardation means.
Well, let's take this back to the original statement. If you were to say to somebody,
yeah,
do you think the retarded guy in Life Goes On is dead or alive? They would know who you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So do you?
I
mean, at this point, you probably were able to research it.
You know, I think I would have to say yes, because I think those people have a stronger will. especially Corky.
A stronger will?
I don't want to say retard strength, but...
I mean, when was the show on the air? In like the 90s?
I think late 80s, early 90s.
It's like 20 years ago. How old do you think he was when he was on the show?
He had to be in his like late teens, no?
So you think it takes a strong will to get to the ripe age of 40?
As a retard? Yeah.
Maybe. But you know, but you said retards, and I'm sorry, people that hate the R word. I just don't know what the fuck to call it.
They're not mentally deficient? I don't know. That sounds worse.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever the fuck he is. And to be honest, here I am, I'm on his Wikipedia page. He's not dead. He is 47 years old. And wow. If you look at, and his name is Chris Burke with an E, B-U-R-K-E. Look at his Wikipedia picture. I'm gonna actually link that in the chat room. This dude doesn't look
I already
that,
looked it up.
This dude doesn't look that retarded to me.
No, he looks Scottish.
You think he looks Scottish? I think he just looks like somebody from like the Midwest. Like, just looks like a fucking...
just like a Nebraskan?
Yeah, like a... You know.
Someone who has to deal with a lot of
guy living
tomatoes.
a simple life. You know, he's got some land to till. He's got some kids. You know? Doesn't look all that retarded. I don't know.
No, he doesn't. Slightly.
I mean, I did say Midwest. You did say Scotland.
Well, he's ginger. I mean...
Oh, he is redheaded and he is retarded. Doesn't say he's in a band? No way is he in a fucking band.
Does he sing?
He tours the U.S. with his four-piece folk band, Forever Friends.
Does he do Obladi? Oblada? Oh, he's got to.
Do you like
he must
that
have
song?
Watched that. I like that song.
It's not a bad song. Beatles, pretty good.
Well, fuck the Beatles.
What do you mean, fuck the Beatles?
The Beatles, fuck. there's way too much hype around the Beatles and like their historical significance in music. I think it's fucking awful.
Hold on a second. Chris Burke, Forever Friends. Looking for a oh my god. Oh no. Oh no.
What happened?
There's one called Hot Diggity Dog.
That sounds great.
And I believe Chris Burke is wearing a dog mask in the video. Doesn't sound folk to me. Oh, Jesus Christ. He is wearing a fucking dog mask and playing an inflatable guitar. What? That's not him singing. I don't think he has any contribution to this.
He plays the inflatable guitar.
It's two dudes and fucking Corky from Life Goes On, and they're just
he's not
fucking
doing anything.
He's just there.
Oh, so they're just like parading him out.
There's got to be a part where he does something.
I just want to know who would go to see them live.
I can't even fucking look at this. Actually, the best part is the mask doesn't have a tongue in it, but there's a part where you can see a tongue sticking from the dog mask. Okay. I feel terrible about this.
You should. You brought it up.
I do. Listen, I think what his parents did is an amazing thing. I mean, I'm reading it here that, you know, they were encouraged to institutionalize him when he was born, but they didn't. They kind of nurtured his desire to be in the center of attention and perform and all that. And I think that's incredible. It's got to be.
No one should really be institutionalized because I don't ever see that as being helpful.
I don't quite know what to say, but whenever I encounter, you know, parents that have a child with some sort of affliction, whether it's a Down syndrome, and you know what, you want to fucking get on my case and call, say it's not an affliction. Well, fuck, what do you want me to call it?
No, it is an affliction.
You want me to call them a fucking the retarded? You want me to say they have a retarded kid? I don't know. I'm doing my best to skirt the language here.
They have a medical problem.
Whenever I encounter somebody who has a child who's got difficulties, is that better?
Yes.
Who's differently abled? I don't know.
Differently abled.
I mean, that's a Carlin joke. I feel for them a little bit. I mean,
I mean it's rough on those parents, definitely.
I don't envy their position, but I envy their will to kind of keep going with it. And I mean, there was one particular time where, like, and I joke about retards like everybody else, I guess. But when you're faced with the reality of it, it's a difficult thing. I was at ShopRite, fucking buying groceries, and I'm in the self checkout line because I don't want to, you know. The one thing about ShopRite that I hate is when I go to the cashier and then they review my purchases. Like they say, oh, was this on sale? I gotta stock up on this. Like, look, just
really,
fucking, just fucking ring it up and shut the fuck up.
I've never encountered that.
I love Chobani. Fuck you. I give a shit if you love Chobani.
Like I've heard someone say, oh, I like, you know, like I'd buy like a young coconut, and they're like, oh, these are good. You know, I've never heard anything past that. You know, like. Just someone saying, oh, this is good.
And the worst is if you buy something that doesn't have a label, like a bunch of cilantro or a fucking, you know, a green pepper that isn't a bell pepper.
Yeah, what is this?
Like, what is this? What was that?
Parsley.
You buy some leafy thing that isn't romaine. They're like, what is this? Is this lettuce? It's Swiss chard. Oh, well, why didn't I just fucking go to the machine and just enter the shit in? So I decided I'm never going to go to them. I always just do it myself. And there was one time I was I approached the register area and I just heard some child just screaming and crying and really going fucking at it, and it was irritating. And I looked over and I saw that this child was probably 35 years old and had some form of mental difficulties. Okay,
right.
They were probably retarded, and I ignored it. I looked away. I didn't like make a face. I didn't do anything. You know, I felt bad for feeling like inconvenienced. And I'm facing the other register now as I'm scanning my shit. And this woman who is able to see the people because they're facing me and they can see what's behind me goes, "Can you believe that kid won't shut up?"
Oh, God.
Like, to the cashier. The cashier's not saying, they're like nodding, like, "Don't Chobani, I love, fucking love that." Oh, scanning all the shit. And then, like, they didn't get the, I guess, an adequate response from the fucking cashier. And so she kind of, like, caught my attention. And he goes, "Can you believe it?" And I said, it's not a kid. And I just glared at her for a second. And I saw her just fucking wash with shame and embarrassment.
Oh, I would have felt so good after saying that to
her. I did. And she goes,
"I would have felt great."
Oh my God. Ugh. I'm like, be fucking aware of where you are. You don't have to fucking, you know, deal with other people to recognize the fucking people that are around you.
No,
just so you can get your stupid quip out there to some fucking zit-faced piece of shit who doesn't know what cilantro is.
Listen, in a supermarket, the awareness of other people completely goes out the door.
But she was able to catch my attention, and 5 feet behind me was the thing she was complaining about. And I'm sorry. Yeah. And by the way, I'm sorry to use the word thing. Didn't mean to. I meant the problem.
You got onto this topic.
Now. I didn't listen.
You just pulled a Frank right there. I didn't.
The person that was making the noise. I really feel terrible. I'm doomed, aren't I? Like, I think this is pretty much in the cards.
We all are.
Okay. Well, It was right behind her, obviously in her field of view. She was aware of it by hearing it, and she was able to see it. And chose not to even fucking acknowledge because she had to let everybody know she was inconvenienced.
That's what I'm talking about.
That is the fucking problem, and that's why I pointed it out to her.
People become self-centric the moment they walk into a supermarket. Like, if your friggin' shopping cart is blocking the case of bread where everybody wants to go get their bagels and fucking Danishes, they'll leave it there and go walk off to the produce department. And leave their fucking thing there, and everybody's like scared to touch a shopping cart.
And after she fucking has all her shit rung up, she brought the cart over to me and goes, "Thank you for telling me that. I feel so bad."
Yeah, now you do.
I go, I'm like, yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, wow, I'm sorry that you fucking feel bad. Can you just listen beyond the cries to the mother that's reassuring this. Her child.
Person.
Her child, that it's okay. You know, everything's going to be all right. I mean, like, through the muff, like, the really loud screams. Just, these were, like, fucking terror-filled screams. Oh, you're like, sad, it's not that bad. We'll be out of here soon. Like, all that shit. And I'm like, fuck, man. Right in the goddamn feels.
Yeah, I feel awful right now.
Yeah, it was, you know, and this fucking bitch has a cartload of shit and just had to be inconvenienced and let everybody know.
Yep.
Fucking really bugged me. Really fucking bugged me.
I did actually hear a really good quote. It was not about, you know, people with like Down syndrome or anything like that, but I mean, well, close. I mean, it was about parents of children with autism. Yeah. And there was a really good quote I heard just yesterday. And they basically equated having a child with autism before you knew, they said it's like booking a trip to Italy and you're going to go see the libraries, you're going to go see all of the great architecture that everybody knows about, but instead when your plane lands you end up in Amsterdam and you don't know what's going on, but they're still beautiful things. You can see the, you know, all the tulip fields and the I don't know why I came to Amsterdam, but the dikes, the dams, if you will. They call them dikes, okay? And
I'm fucking
you're breaking shit, aren't you?
I'm fucking 6 years old. I'm just falling apart, Steve. I'm sorry.
I know you are, and I just put you over the edge. No, but it's like booking a trip to one country where you think you're going to see what you know you're going to see. You end up somewhere else, and you're confused, but there's still beautiful things to be seen in that other country. You know what I mean?
You just fucking murdered that quote. I don't wanna, you, not only did you murder it, you did that in front of its other quote relatives. Fucking shit on it. And said, but I loved it! After it was dead. I get the sentiment, though. It's completely unexpected. You have no idea what you're getting into.
Right.
But it's...
You're expecting one thing.
But you're able to find a way to enjoy it as everybody else is able to enjoy their situation. And not only that, Goatweed just booked his trip to Amsterdam. And he's going to post it on his new photo blog, feudin.com. So, everybody be sure to check out that website. It doesn't exist. Don't bother. Why don't we get out of here, Steve? Wrap this episode up.
I've been waiting.
I think it was a good one. I had fun. I encourage everybody to go to heroestalk.com, subscribe to all the shows on iTunes, leave a review, leave a comment for Best in Show Radio, Truth Time Theater, Bug Zapper Radio, and if you feel so inclined, this show, the DJ New Style Show. Thank you very much for tuning in. heroestalk.com/Amazon. Buy something. Spend your money on yourself or your loved ones. You get whatever it is you want. We get a small cut. That's a win-win situation. And one of the things you can buy on Amazon is our buddy Streeter Seidel's book, White Wine, A Study of First World Problems. Steven, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in, Jimmy. Is there anything you wanted to say, Steve?
Feudin'.
Feudin', indeed. Thank you, and have a good week.